In 2012, California made history when it became the first U.S. state to declare that clean drinking water is a human right. But 5 years later, nearly 300 communities still can't drink their water, according to new state data, many of which are in the San Joaquin Valley. Today, we debut a series about drinking water in which we explore where these communities are and why it's so difficult to get clean water. FM 89's Ezra David Romero and Carrie Klein start off in rural Fresno County, north of Lemoore.
Angel Hernandez moved to the 600-person community of Lanier in the late 80s. He soon realized something was wrong with the water.
When you would turn on your faucet, the water would come out in a yellow color and had it like a sulfur, and it'd make you cough.
Now he says the discoloration has gone away, but there's still a major problem.
You can see it's clear. You can't tell. The arsenic is in it that we can't see.
Arsenic is a chemical element that occurs naturally in the ground, and it can leach into the water supply. In high enough doses, it can lead to vomiting, diarrhea, and long-term health impacts like heart disease, neurological problems, and cancer.
Lanier has dealt with arsenic contamination for decades. After a persistent community outcry, they eventually got federal money for what they thought would be a solution. It sits right in the middle of town. Lanier resident Isabel Solorio points it out.
Here is the project when they made to water treatment plant.
They built an arsenic treatment plant. But here's the thing. For the past 10 years, it sat lifeless. The $1.3 million facility only ran for 6 months. It was too expensive to operate, and the town quickly racked up debt. Veronica Garibay is a co-director of the Fresno-based nonprofit Leadership Council for Justice and Accountability. She says the community still owes around $30,000.
They also now have to pay off a debt of an arsenic treatment plant that sits in their community and is a symbolic reminder of we could have had clean water, but we can't afford it.
Now Lanier's moved on to another solution. We'll have more on that later.
Lanier is not the only California community struggling for clean water. There are around 290 others dealing with problems like arsenic, nitrates, and uranium. Around 400,000 Californians are impacted, and more than half of those live here in the San Joaquin Valley. In Kings County, for example, 40% of residents have unsafe drinking water. That's almost half its population.
These numbers come from a new website the State Water Board launched earlier this year. It's called the Human Right to Water Portal. There you can find data about every public water system in the state and all violations from the last 5 years. Wendy Kilu is an environmental scientist with the Water Board.
This portal was produced to provide another level of transparency when it comes to letting the public know what's in their drinking water.
The data doesn't include contaminants like 123-TCP, a carcinogen that's really common in drinking water. When the state begins regulating that chemical later this year, the number of impacted residents throughout California could skyrocket.
To get some context, we turn to the Community Water Center in Visalia, where just inside the front door, there's a table covered with water bottles of different colors.
So here we have a variety of tap waters from different communities in the Central Valley.
Susana De Anda is the co-founder and co-director of the advocacy group, which works to help Californians gain access to safe and affordable drinking water. She says 400,000 people, that's too many.
That's a big number, and we're talking about people's lives and students and parents and families. It should be that all Californians can thrive and drink tap water without the fear of becoming sick.
She says the fact that so many Valley communities have dirty water follows an all too common trend.
There's plenty of studies that can show if you're low income and a person of color, as I am, you're going to have higher chances of having polluted water. That is not okay.
Jay Lund is the director of the Center for Watershed Sciences at UC Davis. He helps explain this trend.
Any place in the world, no matter how developed you are, it's usually the small systems that have the biggest problems. The economics means that they don't have much economies of scale, so that it's pretty expensive to do anything.
400,000 residents amounts to about 1% of the state. And Lund says that's just about what he'd expect. Any lower, and he'd be suspicious that water agencies weren't doing their jobs.
If compliance was 100% and there were no systems out of compliance, that would cause me to worry that people weren't actually looking at it.
Still, in places like Lanier that are in that 1%, the problem may seem insurmountable. It's taken nearly a decade to regain the momentum after their treatment plant failed. Isabel Solorio shows me two wells the state's begun digging.
This is a part of a new well. They need to finish the project.
They've just dug it right now.
Just dug it only.
They hope by digging wells in different places, they'll find water free of arsenic and that it'll be cheaper than getting the treatment plant running.
But after decades of disappointment, the community is skeptical the solution will work. Angel Hernandez says this new phase has already been going on for 2 years.
They tell us they're supposed to be starting in 2017. They're going to start doing one thing or another thing. So we're there now.
So why is it so hard to solve this problem?
And whose responsibility is it to provide clean water? We'll answer those questions and visit other communities in later stories.
With Valley Public Radio News, I'm Ezra David Romero.
And I'm Carrie Klein.
Last week, we launched a series called Contaminated, where our team explores the communities in the region affected by water that's unsafe to drink. In our first story, we visited a Fresno County community that can't afford to maintain the arsenic treatment plant the federal government helped fund 10 years ago. We continue today with a look at a Madera County community in the mountains, where residents have been exposed to a different hazardous material in water for decades. But as FM 89's Ezra David Romero and Carrie Klein report, they could have clean water by the end of the year.
When Steve and Debbie Acree moved to the city of Oakhurst 17 years ago, they were told the water may not be safe to drink. They weren't too worried until...
The first morning we get up, we make a cup of coffee. My husband puts creamer in it, and it actually curdled. We were like, oh my God, we got to go buy water.
Since then, they've stocked up on $50 worth of bottled water every month. The water in Oakhurst has lots of problems, but plumber Rick Markley has given one of the biggest ones a nickname.
We call that vitamin U.
Because everyone takes it.
Well, yes, you don't have any choice, right?
Vitamin U, he means uranium. It's in the tap water here. Oakhurst is one of 300 California communities with drinking water issues revealed earlier this year by the state's new Human Right to Water portal. Uranium is a problem for many water districts in the valley, but it's a particular problem in mountain communities, many of which struggle with other contaminants as well.
Out of all the non-compliant water systems in the state, a handful in the Madera County foothills have tested the highest for uranium. But they've also got a solution right around the corner. But what exactly is uranium, and how did it get here?
Uranium is a metal on the periodic table, and it forms naturally in rocks. Mike Massey is an environmental scientist at CSU East Bay. He says uranium's probably a lot more abundant than you think.
It's common in the crust. You probably have uranium in the soil in your yard. And actually, it's even slightly more common in granite, like you find in California, in the Sierras.
In fact, uranium's about as abundant as another metal that's been in the news a lot, arsenic. They both leach into the groundwater through entirely natural processes.
So when you hear uranium, you may think nuclear bombs, or Homer Simpson fumbling with glowing green rods at the power plant. But the kind of uranium pestering the foothills is nothing that sinister.
Massey says that's because they're different isotopes, which means they have different masses and levels of radioactivity. Almost all the uranium out there is the isotope uranium-238.
Uranium-238 is not what they make bombs out of. Uranium-238 is what they throw away so that they can keep the 235 and make bombs out of that.
Uranium-238 is far less radioactive than its sister isotopes. So in Oakhurst, water officials say it's totally safe to shower and wash your clothes with the water. But drinking it over the long term is associated with cancer and organ failure.
Cleaning up uranium can be challenging and expensive. Kevin Berryhill is an engineer with the environmental consulting group Provo and Pritchard. He says with higher uranium levels, the best option is to spend a few $100 on a filter that fits under the sink.
And that's important. It needs to be an under-sink unit with reverse osmosis, because just a regular Brita, which is an activated carbon filter, will not necessarily take out any of the uranium.
But in Oakhurst, with thousands of residents depending on the water, providers are thinking bigger. They've turned to a water treatment plant that currently takes care of other contaminants.
So this is the site of our current iron manganese removal system.
That's Jim Foster, general manager of the Hillview Water Company, which provides water to most of Oakhurst and the surrounding area. At the moment, uranium in the town's source wells tests at almost three times what the state says is acceptable to drink.
Foster says they mix the contaminated water with clean water, so what reaches homes is far cleaner. Even still, it's out of compliance with state standards. According to Foster, that will all change in the near future, when a new treatment plant is erected in this very spot. He slaps one of the tanks to check the water level.
All of this facility will be taken out. It'll be regraded and leveled, and a whole brand new treatment plant will be here.
The new plant will use a more involved filtration system to remove uranium, as well as arsenic, iron, and manganese from the water. Plus, Foster says whatever they take out will be recycled, rather than being dumped in a toxic waste landfill.
It doesn't end up stored someplace to where you would have to worry about it leaking out, or someone calling you, you know, in 50 years saying, well, there was a barrel marked with your company on it, and so you have to participate in the cleanup of it.
Foster says this state-funded treatment facility needs to be built within the next 2 years and will cost around $5 million. It'll serve around 4,000 people in Oakhurst. Planning is also underway for three other water treatment plants in smaller communities nearby.
Even though water rates will go up slightly to maintain the project, Cassie Chahan with the State Water Resources Control Board says once the treatment facility is running, it'll be a huge benefit for the town.
For the first time in, for most people ever, they will have water that meets all of the drinking water standards, which from a public health perspective is very encouraging.
The system will eventually extend to some private well owners as well as a high school.
Construction should begin in early June, and the uranium treatment portion could be up and running by the end of the year. With Valley Public Radio News, I'm Carrie Klein.
And I'm Ezra David Romero.
Right now, though, we pick up with the latest installment in our series, Contaminated, in which we explore the 300 California communities that lack access to clean drinking water. When we began the series, we introduced you to the community of Lanier, which has arsenic-tainted water, all while a treatment plant in the center of town sits idle. Today, FM 89's Ezra David Romero and Carrie Klein return to Lanier to learn why infrastructure projects aren't always enough and how Sacramento is trying to ensure Lanier never happens again.
Water problems have plagued the Fresno County community of Lanier for so long, it may feel like there's nothing left to do but joke about them. Like when I spoke with a group of Lanier residents earlier this spring.
He's asking if you want a glass of water.
Isabel Solorio is the president of the group Community United in Lanier. She advocates for basic services here, and she's fought to get clean water for decades. She remembers when the treatment center was built in 2007.
Cuando la pusieron, para nosotros era una alegría.
She's saying when they built it for them, it was an exciting occasion and it was good. This unincorporated community of 600 near Lemoore is surrounded by rows of pistachios, alfalfa, and cotton. It lacks some basic infrastructure like sidewalks and streetlights, which is one reason it was a big deal to get something as big as a new treatment plant. But just 6 months after the plant was built, the locally elected Lanier Community Services District had to shut it down. Filtering and treating the water were more expensive than anticipated, and Lanier racked up $100,000 in debt. Solorio's saying that on her part it felt disappointing, because she believed that they were in a place where things worked.
So why did this happen? How did Lanier get to be in this situation? To find out, we turn to a local expert.
Hi, Leadership Council, this is Veronica.
Veronica Garibay is the co-director of the Fresno-based Leadership Council for Justice and Accountability. She's been working with Lanier for almost a decade. Garibay says this project failed on multiple levels. Lanier residents didn't know how to navigate the bureaucratic system, and the county and feds didn't look beyond the price tag for the initial construction to consider the cost of maintenance that the community couldn't afford.
The county didn't do its due diligence to really look at what was happening in drinking water. They rubber stamped $1.3 million without looking at the implications of that.
The state and federal government do offer funding options to cover one-time construction projects related to drinking water, but that's not the end of the story. Operating and maintaining these systems can raise water rates prohibitively high. Communities across the state are having to turn away from those projects because they can't scrape together the funding for long-term costs.
There's now a bill in the state legislature that could provide long-term funding for projects like this. Carl Carlucci is a local supervising sanitary engineer for the California Water Board, and he says funding like that could have made a big difference for Lanier.
That is, unfortunately, the poster child for what we do not want to see happen again.
Lanier's unfortunate situation is one of the reasons why Senate Bill 623 was introduced earlier this year. If signed into law, it would establish a safe and affordable drinking water fund, essentially a pool of money available for long-term costs for water systems. That's because
there are no programs right now to fund O&M. So the idea is to come up with a funding source that could be given to the administrator so that they would have enough money to properly operate and maintain the water system.
When a community needs clean water, it can explore a few options before it ends up like Lanier. First, Carlucci says the water board can try to extend water lines from a nearby community. Next, they can consider drilling a new well to hopefully tap into cleaner water. Lastly, the board can fund either household treatment options like reverse osmosis systems or a large-scale treatment plant.
The last thing we really want to do is burden a disadvantaged community with treatment. Typically, you know, it's like Lanier. They usually struggle to afford those costs.
That last resort is where SB 623 and the Safe and Affordable Drinking Water Fund would come into play. The fund would be managed by the State Water Board and would be available in the form of grants. So how much money would this fund need? Jonathan Nelson with the Visalia-based Community Water Center advocated for this bill, and he estimates a few hundred million dollars per year.
Which sounds like a lot, but really, in the grand scheme of California's economy, that's an extremely small amount. We would be talking about cents on Californians' water bills, under a dollar.
Nelson says one of the most urgent priorities is to figure out where the money would come from. One way could be to charge a fee to water polluters.
Other ideas include creating a new sort of safe drinking water fee that would go on Californians' water bills.
That kind of fee is not unheard of in California. When it comes to telecommunications like phone and internet, most of us already pay a so-called lifeline fee to help lower the cost for disadvantaged Californians. SB 623 has passed the state Senate and is currently waiting for a vote in the Assembly. If Governor Brown signs it into law this year, Nelson says it could be up and running within the next few years.
But this fund wouldn't solve the drinking water problem for everyone. Sue Reese is a community development specialist with Self-Help Enterprises, a nonprofit that helps rural areas address water-related needs. She says communities like Lanier face more obstacles than money. They're small, remote, tend to have a lot of Spanish speakers, and they're run by volunteer water boards.
And so frequently the staff people have minimal or limited capacity and knowledge to run these systems too. Would you be able to go run an arsenic treatment plant? I wouldn't, and I work here.
Even though SB 623 could have helped Lanier years ago, getting their treatment plant up and running is no longer their fastest or cheapest option. The board has approved funds for two wells and a system of new pipes throughout the community. With this system, Lanier could have clean water by the end of the year. With Valley Public Radio News, I'm Ezra David Romero.
And I'm Carrie Klein.
Right now, though, we begin our program with the fourth installment in our series known as Contaminated, in which we explore the California communities that lack access to safe drinking water. So far, we've visited communities working with the state to get clean water, but today we introduce you to a population that falls outside of state jurisdiction, private well owners. And as FM89's Ezra David Romero and Carrie Klein report, they have drinking water problems of their own.
The recent drought underscored the struggles of private well owners as wells across Tulare County went dry. But an underlying issue has existed all along. Even those who have drinking water don't necessarily know if it's safe.
The problem is that those people that live outside of the city and have their own well are usually the ones that have no idea what's in their drinking water.
Abigail Solis is a community development specialist with the Visalia nonprofit Self-Help Enterprises. She says many residents simply don't test their water.
They are under the misconception that because they live out in the country, that their water is clean or somehow better than the water in the city.
But it's not. Wells in this area commonly contain unsafe levels of nitrates, which are byproducts of the fertilizer used throughout Tulare County. Drinking them is particularly harmful to infants. They restrict the flow of oxygen to the body and can lead to so-called blue baby syndrome or even death. Nobody knows how many of the state's estimated 600,000 private domestic wells pump unsafe drinking water, but in a 2006 study of some private wells in Tulare County, the state found 41% contained unsafe levels of nitrate.
So Lise says many families think they can just boil water to get rid of the nitrates.
However, if it's nitrates that we're talking about, boiling the water would actually do you more harm. It actually concentrates.
Thousands of Tulare County residents rely on private wells. But testing water is expensive, and more than a quarter of the county falls below the poverty line.
That's why Solis and Self-Help started a program to offer free testing for nitrates. It's a 6-month pilot program that targets needy parents with kids, and it's housed at a venue that people already trust, the Food and Nutrition Program Women, Infants, and Children, or WIC.
What are you awake from death? How may I help you?
Since April, workers at the WIC office in Porterville have offered nitrate testing kits to mothers in classes or one-on-one meetings. A kit contains a Ziploc bag with instructions and a small plastic bottle.
So a family would simply remove the lid, fill the bottle with water to the rim, and put the lid back on. And they would put the bottle back in the zip bag and return it back to the WIC office.
So far, 48 women have taken their test kits home. Norma Garcia is one of them. She says she didn't hesitate to take the offer because she had heard talk about water in the area being contaminated. Garcia lives on a ranch near Porterville with her husband and two toddlers. Her well tested high for nitrates. Now, Self-Help delivers 50 gallons of drinking water to her home every month. She says when she got the call, she immediately stopped using the water. She was worried about her children's health, so she stopped using it for cooking and even washing food.
Across the state, roughly 300 water districts are out of compliance with state code, meaning about 450,000 people lack access to safe drinking water. But that data only includes public water systems. The state doesn't keep track of how many of the hundreds of thousands of private wells are contaminated. Joe Karkowski of the State Water Board says none of those private wells are the state's responsibility.
A private well owner does not get a permit from our Division of Drinking Water, and they're not regulated under the Safe Drinking Water Act.
The Water Board doesn't regulate water systems with fewer than 15 connections unless they're in public places like schools, parks, or rest stops.
Tulare County does offer testing services to private well owners. For around $200, they test for more than just nitrates, also bacteria, uranium, and a pesticide residue called DBCP. Nilsa Gonzalez is Tulare County's environmental health director.
I think it's always a good idea to know what you're drinking, especially if you have children in the home or infants that are using that water for their formula.
Unlike the county service, Self-Help's tests are free. But that doesn't mean people are breaking down the door of the WIC office to get them. Of the 48 women who have taken Self-Help kits home, only 18 have actually returned them for testing. Tulare County spokeswoman Tammy Weicker says financial anxiety prevents some people from even wanting to know what's in their water.
They're trying to cover their basic needs, and that can be a really scary thing for a family to think, what happens to us if suddenly we find this out?
Abigail Solis hopes Self-Help's partnership with WIC will help parents get over those fears.
A lot of families come in here and they trust the WIC office, and they know that the WIC office provides nutrients for their family. So if WIC is asking you to think about the quality of your water, they believe it's important to do so.
The pilot program will continue through September. If it gets renewed, Solis hopes they'll start testing for other contaminants like arsenic. In the meantime, she says Self-Help is in talks with other counties to help implement similar programs. With Valley Public Radio News, I'm Ezra David Romero.
And I'm Carrie Klein.
Right now, hundreds of California communities lack access to safe drinking water. The struggle for a permanent fix can be years in the making and can be held up by funding problems and community disagreements. But even when a solution is apparent and the money's there, the paperwork itself can take years. FM89's Carrie Klein and Ezra David Romero report this story from rural Madera County, the latest in our ongoing series, Contaminated.
Drive through the pomegranate and pistachio orchards between Highways 41 and 99, and you may stumble upon Valley Teen Ranch, a cluster of residential homes where juvenile offenders come to be rehabilitated. Today, a few men are in their living room playing a basketball video game and making small talk with Connie Clendenin, the ranch's CEO.
I'm for the Warriors. Don't we have them?
Yeah, we got them.
Okay.
I'm from Oakland, so yeah.
Okay.
In an ideal world, Clendenin would spend most of her time working directly with the 30 or so men who live here.
They need a lot of kindness, patience, grace, and a healthy relationship in order to be able to make some changes in their life.
But instead, she spends a lot of time worrying about water. Since 2008, Valley Teen Ranch's water system has been out of compliance with state code because of arsenic contamination. She and one of her staff bring me to a back room and point out 14 huge water bottles, the kind you put on an office water dispenser.
So is this all the bottled water that we would use in a month for this house?
No, I believe that's for the week.
A school complex down the street also struggles with arsenic levels. Together, they have a plan. They'll connect themselves to a water system in Madera Ranchos, a nearby unincorporated community with clean drinking water. This $6.6 million state-funded project is the latest iteration of something Valley Teen Ranch has been working on for nearly a decade. And yet, it still hasn't been approved by the state.
All the entities involved are seemingly on board. So what's the holdup? Paperwork. Bureaucracy. The very same processes that are in place to ensure safe drinking water in the first place.
So we have to cha-cha, as I call it, with the bureaucrats in their state and county and federal government.
When Clendenin learned the ranch's water was unsafe, she jumped on a plan. They would drill a new well that would hopefully tap into cleaner water. She hired a contractor, did all the necessary environmental assessments, and wrote a grant to the state water board to pay for the project. The process took years and tens of thousands of dollars.
And then, a few years ago, everything changed. The Liberty High School complex, about a mile away, was struggling with arsenic as well. The state decided to change the plan and connect them both to the community of Madera Ranchos in what's called a water system consolidation.
I'm confident that if we were just to have pursued an independent solution with Valley Teen Ranch, we would have already been there. But we felt like it was worth the delay to pursue a better long-term solution in the consolidation project.
That's Cassie Chahan with the State Water Resources Control Board. She says consolidating water systems is typically a cheaper, more long-term alternative to drilling more wells and treating the water at each site individually. Chahan says administrative changes at the state and local level also meant the grant had to be rewritten and resubmitted multiple times.
Valley Teen Ranch has been so cooperative along the way, and I know they're so anxious to get connected and out of the water business. It's really just a matter of circumstance. I mean, things happen and we've had to kind of work through each of the hurdles.
For Valley Teen Ranch, this project has been dragging along for almost 10 years. But for their neighbors, it's really only been 2 or 3 years. And Chahan says that timeline is about on track.
5 years is kind of the minimum, and that's assuming there aren't a bunch of delays. It's not unrealistic that the scope changes during the course of the project, which really in this case is resulting in a better solution.
The state plans to pay for the construction costs, and the operations and maintenance will be divided among all the ratepayers.
Golden Valley Unified School District Superintendent Andy Alvarado says the Liberty High School complex's 1,000 students stand to benefit from the plan. The district was forced to shut down its contaminated well and now supplies the entire complex with one well that meets state standards. There's no backup water supply. Consolidating with Madera Ranchos would allow them to make infrastructure upgrades and save thousands of dollars a year.
If the option was presented tomorrow to completely get out of the water business and have all of our schools connected to a water district, I can't speak for the board, but I'd be very much interested in that. Absolutely.
All righty. Good to see you. Keep doing your best.
No matter the result, it can't come fast enough for Connie Clendenin. To deal with her frustration, she says she jokes around with her contacts at the water board.
And I call them and say, so, Mr. State, what am I going to have in my Christmas stocking? Do we have an approved plan? Am I going to be able to drink clean water?
The answer is probably not while she's still CEO. She says she's planning to retire by the end of 2018. Even at that point, a solution will still be a few years away. For Valley Public Radio, I'm Carrie Klein.
And I'm Ezra David Romero.